In a way, John the Baptist is Advent. I mean, can you imagine thinking about Advent without this lone character out in the desert preaching the message of repentance? Speaking a message of Christ, can you imagine Advent without John? Probably not. But John is never alone, really. If you were here last Wednesday, you heard the song of Zechariah. So with John the Baptist, there is his father, Zechariah, Elizabeth, the mother. It's a family. Just like Mary, Mary and Joseph, a family. A family brings forth the promise. And so we have here, gathered today, most of the family, because we are here at one service. But the people of Israel always thought of salvation within a family. They never thought of salvation just as an individual event. It was a family affair. And so today in the gospel, we hear about John the Baptist proclaiming, but we also hear a message that comes from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40. We sang it as the opening hymn about comforting the people. We also hear the message from Malachi as well, a family. All pointing to salvation within a family. In our culture today, especially in America, it's all about being the lone wolf, the individual. But salvation is a corporate event. In fact, I'm going to Israel in about a month. I've been there many times. When you talk to the Jewish people, they talk about salvation as a family thing. They'll talk about Moses. They'll talk about David. They'll talk about Solomon. They'll talk about Abraham as family members. And so today, in this Advent season, we hear from John the Baptist, but within a family that has proclaimed the message of salvation in the past by the prophets, we hear that from today's Old Testament lesson, and we also hear the fulfillment. It has already been fulfilled then, many, many years ago, but also now, today, in our hearing. So how is that done? Well, we see in the first reading, Malachi, that God prophesies through the prophet that God is going to send one who comes before the Lord. And it's obvious. This is John the Baptist. He's out in the desert. He preaches a message of repentance. He tells people to turn from their sins and to be baptized. And also in today's gospel from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40, comfort my people, a voice crying out in the wilderness or the desert. If we know the story from the Old Testament, the people of Israel were in captivity, in Babylonian captivity. And they were held by the Persians. And God, through chapter 1 through 39, is crying out violence and destruction and law, really, because of their sin, because they had turned away from God. And then in chapter 40, everything changes. It's a message of gospel. It's a message of hope. It's a message of peace. My people, they have suffered enough for their sins. Comfort my people and tell them that they have been forgiven and that they can return back to Jerusalem. This is the message of Advent, not only for those people then, but also for us today. It's fulfilled. All of it is fulfilled in Christ. For in Christ he comes and he rescues those who are poor. In Christ, he restores the kingdom of God, the people of Israel. In Christ, he is king. He stamps out the enemies. He blesses all nations through Israel. And through Christ, he atones for the sins of the whole world. That's why we're gathered here today, to celebrate this, to hear the message of the covenant that was promised many years ago, fulfilled in Christ then, but also now, and celebrated in the Eucharist this morning, the new covenant of Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. This is our hope. This is our salvation. This is our Savior. So there's two things I'd like to talk about this morning. One is a desert, and the other one is a road. A desert and a road. In today's Old Testament lesson, it's prophesied that one will come out into the wilderness. Well, the wilderness really is a desert. Imagine a desert with nothing but sand, not many buildings, just pretty much desolate. Nothing there. 1995, I was out on the east side of the Jordan, and I remember the culture shock because there were no strip malls, there were no billboards, there were no restaurants. All it was a desert. If you've ever been out to California, places out there, you can see a desert. It really still even looks like that today. There's not much out there, maybe a few churches that they're building. But for the most part, it looks really the same way it probably looked 2,000 years ago. And so there is John in the desert. Why? Why is he out in the desert? I mean, if you're going to preach the gospel, wouldn't you go to New York City? Wouldn't you go to the center of Boston? Wouldn't you go to Chicago? Wouldn't you go to LA? Wouldn't you go to Jerusalem to share that message? Because you could reach more people that way, wouldn't you? But here, John is, I don't know, a day or two-day journey from Jerusalem. You have to go all the way down a hill. You have to cross over through Jericho. It's a commitment to really be there to hear this preacher. Now, realize most of us, we just got up in the morning. The alarm clock went off. We got in our car. We drove to church. But what if I told you, you know, I was going to preach way out, you know, on the island? Would you even take the journey to go there? Probably not. But the people of Israel, they did. They journeyed out into the desert. Why? It sounds crazy. Well, in real estate, we talk about three things, right? Location, location, location. Location is everything in real estate. And when it comes to the message of John the Baptist, location is everything. And here's why. If you can picture the Dead Sea, John the Baptist is north of the Dead Sea, over to the right, which would be east of the Jordan River. Now, why would that be important? Well, if you're Jewish, you know the story. And see, as Gentiles, as Americans, we are so disconnected from the story. The Bible is a book on the shelf. The Old Testament is a bunch of stories that really isn't part of our culture. Disney, that's a part of our culture. Santa Claus, that's a part of our culture. And of course, today is St. Nicholas Day. There's nothing wrong with that. But the people of Israel, they're so embedded in the story of salvation from the Old Testament. It's not just a story, folks. It's their story. It's their identity. They identify with it just like people in New York may identify with the Yankees or people in other places identify with another sport team. The people of Israel identified with the story. It was their story, their identity. So what happened? North of the Dead Sea, east of the Jordan River, about 15 years before John the Baptist. Well, the people of Israel were released from bondage by Moses and crossed over through the Red Sea. They journeyed for many years, and guess what they did? They crossed over into Jerusalem, into the land of promise, the land of Cana, east of the Jordan, north of the Dead Sea, and into the land of promise, the land of milk and honey. The location is the same location where John the Baptist is. 500 years before that, the people of Israel were in captivity east. Why were they in captivity? Because of their sins, because they had turned away from God, because they had set up idols, because they became just like the world. They fell into sin and idolatry, and so they were brought into captivity in Babylon. So where did they cross to come back? Isaiah chapter 40. Well, you guessed it, right? North of the Dead Sea, east of the Jordan River. So here John the Baptist is preaching a message of repentance. What's he doing in a subtle way? He's saying to the people, you have a new beginning. Get back to your roots. Return to your story. Return to your identity. Leave behind the sins of the world, the distractions of the world, the identity with the world, and be restored back to the beginning of your story, of the people of Israel. I think for us as well, we need to hear the story. We need to identify with the story. And during Advent, we need the desert. I don't know about you, but how many of you are so caught up in the stress of the trees, the lights, the presents, the parties? Nothing wrong with all of that, but sometimes it becomes so overwhelming. And we just need to stop. Advent during Wednesdays are a great time to do that, to pray and to listen to God's word. But we need time to meditate. We need time to be quiet, to hear God's word. Because the world is so busy, And it is so deceitful. It tells us that if we have this thing or we do this thing, we'll be happy. But it's not true. And there's so many temptations in the world. Nothing really has changed since the time of John the Baptist. Salvation has come to them then, and it also comes to us now. But we really have to have ears to hear. We have to be quiet. We have to go out into that desert and to pray and to listen to the words of John the Baptist. Second, a road. Now, in today's culture, we talk a lot about our infrastructure. We talk about roads. We talk about bridges. Politicians talk about this all the time, that they're falling apart. They need to be restored, and it's going to take a lot of money to do it. Well, John the Baptist is speaking not about physical things. He's talking about restoring our hearts. He's talking about restoring our attitudes and our walk with God, that the high land would be leveled, and he's talking about the low land would be filled in. Now, when you ever have a king or some important person coming to a city, you would make sure that the road was smooth. You know, I think it was in October, Pope Francis was coming to New York. A lot of preparation, a lot of security. You just don't wake up the day before and say, okay, let's receive this person. There's a lot of fanfare. There's a lot of behind the scenes as far as the road and security, and we can relate to that. Well, when a king would come into Jerusalem or Bethlehem, again, that road would have to be smooth. So what is the road of the Lord? It is the road for exiles. Those people who are in captivity, spiritually, emotionally, physically, who need to return back to Jerusalem. And that road needs to be smooth so that people can travel on it from east going into the land of promise. It's not about physical roads. It's not about dignitaries. It's about our hearts. Where are our hearts? Where is our mind? Where are we at? As far as the road being high or low, look at our lives. As far as lowness, what about sadness? How many people do you know that are just full of sadness? Maybe they don't have a lot of family connections this time of year, or they're anxious. You know, the days get darker, right? And people have that feeling of anxiety or just fear in general. Like, what's going to happen? How is the year going to end, or how is the year going to be in 2016, and what's the future going to be like? And there's so much uncertainty, fear, worry, anxiety, and maybe even depression. Filling in the roads means having hope, knowing that God cares for us, knowing that we can cast all of our anxieties upon him, that we can embrace uncertainty, that we can cast our care upon him because he cares for us. That means filling in the roads by faith and hope, knowing that God has given us his very best, and we can trust him for the rest. What about the road being high? Well, what about pride? Do you suffer with pride? Or maybe unforgiveness? Have there been people in your life that you just simply haven't forgiven? You're holding a grudge? Now would be a good time, wouldn't it? Now would be a good time to just let that go and fill in the road and level the road and get rid of that to celebrate the Christmas season. Or self-importance or impatience or feelings that you are the center of the universe. The message of Advent is a message of community. It reminds us that, yes, we are saved individually, but we're not saved without a community. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not just about us. It's about those who have come before us. It's about Malachi. It's about Isaiah. It's about John the Baptist. It's about Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth. It's about Zechariah. It's about the family of God. It's about Abraham. This is our story. This is our identity. We celebrate the fact that all of us as Gentiles have been grafted into this great story. And our calling is to live it. To live it as children of God, forgiven by God, and in the same way we proclaim the same message that John the Baptist did. For Christ has come, Christ has died, and Christ will come again. This is the message of Advent for them and also for us. Amen. The peace